Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tonight, a watershed moment in this nation's history. For the first time, an American president convicted of criminal conduct, all in the middle of an election season. Donald Trump convicted on 34 counts of falsifying business records after a Manhattan jury deliberated for 9.5 hours.
Tonight, the breaking news, Donald Trump guilty in the so-called hush money criminal trial. On the first count, Donald Trump is guilty. Count two, guilty. Count 34, guilty. Guilty on all counts.
We begin with the breaking news. A stunning moment in American history. Donald Trump, the former president of the United States, found guilty on 34 felony counts. The first former president of the United States convicted on criminal charges.
This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here.
You know, one of the things we haven't talked about much this morning is this whole issue of ultimately the election is the solution. That's a very interesting. And hear me out on this. Anytime you go through a court case, right, the prosecution lays out its case, the defense lays out its case, or at least lays out how the prosecution didn't make its case. That's enough to acquit somebody, right? And then assuming that it's a jury trial, the jury makes its finding. One of the reasons that jury trials are more powerful than bench trials is that the jury not only has to figure out the facts of the case, but they can also nullify the law itself. They can basically rule that we believe the person did the thing you say they did. We even believe that it's a crime under the law, but we're just not going to enforce it. Like, juries are the last line of defense for individual liberty. It's not particularly relevant in this case, perhaps, but it is worth keeping in mind. But you say, well, what happens when the jury, a judge can't do that, by the way. But what happens when the jury just gets it, you know, like they say something that we don't believe in, then ultimately the source of remedy for that is an election, right? Because in an election, you have elect officials who then appoint judges, or we elect judges, depending on which way they're created. And so the real safeguard against any judicial process that goes wrong is, you know, peaceful protest, sure, but then elections. You know, there's a built-in solution to this problem. And so one of the I don't think people have talked much about this, at least I haven't heard it, is that Trump says the solution is on November 5th, and Biden says the solution is on November 5th. Both of them say that same thing. And correct. Now, that doesn't mean that the actual proceedings of the trial don't matter. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't criticize them. It doesn't mean that, you know, I'm just... The ultimate safeguard of your liberty isn't really in with the jury or with the judge. It's with the election that keeps the rules in place. Because if people are not informed and do not vote and do not elect wise, competent, decent, virtuous people, then anything happens. You can vote yourself into a tyranny just as well as you can vote yourself into a continuing republic, regardless of what the technical letters of the law or the Constitution say, right? It's the people who implement and enforce those things. 8:16 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Jimmy's got traffic for us. Jimmy?
We are seeing a lot of traffic building up in downtown Pensacola at every major intersection. That would be North Palafox Street and Cervantes and 9th Avenue at the intersections of Gregory and Chase Street. Seeing a lot of traffic building up on Garden Street as well in Palafox. So just use caution driving downtown this morning. We are also backed up on Main Street and Palafox at that intersection. And if you were coming into Pensacola from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, clear all the way westbound on 98 over the 3 mile bridge this morning as well into town. And Pace and Milton, not seeing too much traffic on Woodbine, but definitely building up on 98 and Chemukla. So expect some delays through that way as well. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
Tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Good luck, Jim.
Good morning, 819 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yes, the Transgressors Ceremony is coming up here in just 1 second. Meanwhile, we are aware that we're having some signal issues this morning on the AM 1620 signal. I know it's always a funny thing like, hey, I know you can't hear me where you can't hear me. But FM 92.3, FM 95.3, the app, News Radio Pensacola, and then also listening on the stream are all working just fine. All right, time for the Transgressor Ceremony.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Harrison Butker, the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, who recently gave a commencement address to the students at Benedictine College and denied every single tenet of our great faith of inclusion by proclaiming his devout Catholicism. Although much attention has been paid to Butker's heretical support for intact, lifelong heterosexual marriages in which the person identified female at birth gives up a real career and stays home to serve the person identified male at birth and their children, there is far more in his speech than we should condemn. He assaulted the entire range of our teachings about human sexuality, opposing not only abortion, but also contraception. And even though this was once a standard teaching by all Christian faiths who took seriously the blessings of Genesis to be fruitful and multiply, we have successfully rebranded sexual reproduction as a pleasurable pastime that anyone can enjoy at any time with pretty much any partner, so long as they both sign the proper consent forms and only ever so rarely within marriage for the purpose of actually, you know, reproducing. As a result, opposition to contraception has been whittled down to pretty much just the Catholics and the Mormons. Butker also encouraged these Catholic students to be publicly outspoken for their faith, something we pretend to support, but obviously only mean when it comes to people who are standing up for what they believe when it is also what we believe. He even claimed that men and fathers matter in a unique way to the formation of citizens, but one of our core dogmas is that men are at best an uncomfortable inconvenience and at worst, the thing you fear more than a bear in the woods. Now, some have commented that Butker is a Roman Catholic speaking to Roman Catholic students at a Roman Catholic school about Roman Catholic ideas, as if to imply there's nothing wrong with that. But I say no. If we start allowing Catholics to say what they like to their own people in a school they run, how soon before they start saying it in public places, or on radio shows, or in television programs, or, gasp, newspapers? No, the way to make sure none of that craziness ever happens is to nip this in the bud and make sure no Catholic ever again thinks it's acceptable to proclaim Catholicism to Catholics in Catholic ceremonies. No, sir. Not on our watch. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, for failing to recuse himself from a case involving President Trump's immunity to prosecution for his role in the January 6th insurrection, after it was discovered that a beach house Alito owns was seen flying two different flags associated with the insurrectionists. One was an upside-down American flag representing extreme distress or danger. The other was the Appeal to Heaven flag, featuring a pine tree that goes back to the Revolutionary War, with the idea from philosopher John Locke that oppressed people are justified in using revolution to overthrow an unjust government, trusting in the judgment of God on their cause. Both flags have been used by the election-denying January 6ers and also by some Christian nationalists. What's challenging about this particular offense is that the person who made the flag choice was not Justice Alito himself, but rather his wife Martha. In fact, he actually asked her to stop flying them, which she refused to do. He also says she did not know of their connection to the insurrectionists and that she was flying them in response to an aggressively rude neighbor. Now look, we understand that Alito himself may not have made the decision to fly the flags. Also, we understand that blaming a husband for his wife's use of her free speech looks like hypocrisy on our part, since we firmly believe that a man neither can control his wife nor should he even be trying to do so. In fact, typically, when a man refuses to do what her husband says, we say things like, "You go, girl." But none of this matters. Consistency of message just isn't our thing, baby. And if we want to be on the one hand the folks who tell women to stand up for themselves and to fly their freak flags and not be subject to any man when it suits our purposes and then criticize a man for failing to control his wife when that suits our purposes, well, that is our prerogative. After all, the Alitos are conservatives, and hence the protections, inclusion, and respect due to normally to people are just not applying to them. So yes, if a neighbor has been unfairly bullying Mrs. Alito and she flies a historical flag in merely visual protest, we can certainly use that choice to unfairly bully him, even if it really makes no sense to do so. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, ChatGPT, the sexist and racist open artificial intelligence bot that recently failed one of the most basic of wokeness 101 tests, the inability to change the facts so that they support our beliefs. What happened was, researchers asked 10 different image generators on ChatGPT to produce a picture of someone who works in finance, a successful investor, the CEO of a company. In response, ChatGPT churned out photo after photo of athletic, handsome, confident, white men, 99 times out of 100. When the researchers then asked it to produce a photo of a secretary, 9 of the 10 images were of women. All 10 were white. Now, yes, some sexist, racist, conservative commentators have observed that in reality, 90% of all CEOs are in fact men, and that 76% of them are in fact white. This certainly does not mean it's okay for a machine learning tool to produce results that taken individually represent the most likely true answer to the question, is this one random CEO a white male? No, no. We expect more from our non-human artists and content generators. How are women going to learn that they can be CEOs if we don't reprogram our machines to produce the affirmative action of imaginary pictures? How are minorities going to learn that they too can work in finance if we don't require the cutting-edge artists of AI to show the truth as we want it to be, rather than the truth as it is? Only the most racist and sexist human being would have the audacity to perform this same imaginative task with such bigoted and non-inclusive results. Similarly, ChatGPT must learn to have more shame and hide the truth like a healthy, suppressed human artist would. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by Untasty Freeze, makers of Ice Bean, A specially formulated, not-so-fine ice cream substitute made from certified gluten-free, vegan, non-dairy powdered bean sprout paste with absolutely no sweeteners at all. That's right, this undelicious snack contains no nutritional value and also creates no mouth pleasure either, reminding us that even if virtue doesn't taste sweet, at least we're committed enough to eat it. Untasty Freeze, you really can't taste anything but the virtue.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
8:27 here on News Radio Pensacola. Let's get Jimmy in here with traffic for us. Jimmy?
Well, if you're coming into Pensacola from Pace or Milton, you are clear over the US 90 bridge all the way into town this morning. And Gulf Breeze Navarre, clear westbound on 98 all the way over the 3 mile bridge into Pensacola as well. If you see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. And yes, by the way, if you're trying to listen on the AM 1620, we know we're having some trouble with it this morning, but the FM signals are good, 95.3, 92.3. Always, you can listen on the app. You can listen to the podcast later. You know, all of these things are available for you. I'm sorry, I know it's irritating. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
There is a large media presence outside Trump Tower. People passing by, stopping, taking pictures. One runner says it's the most media she's seen in front of the building all week.
Yeah, there was just one guy here the other day. There were police. And then Wednesday, when I thought he was being sentenced, he got the verdict. There's only one journalist here. And now today, you are so many.
Of course, NYPD on standby there, barricades surrounding the building. We are expecting to hear from former President Trump here in about an hour and a half or so. There's some new confirmation from the Justice Department now that they are investigating former WWE chief executive Vince McMahon, the lawyer for a former WWE employee who filed a sexual misconduct lawsuit, says she's agreed to pause that lawsuit at the request of the Justice Department because they're now investigating. And Andrew, what could go wrong here? An Ohio billionaire says he's planning to launch a voyage to the wreckage of the Titanic.
Oh, I saw this.
less than a year, of course, since the Titan submarine disaster that killed five people attempting the same journey. Real estate and tech entrepreneur Larry Connor says he's planning to work with Triton Submarines to build a new submersible and travel to the Titanic. He wants to do this, he says, to renew confidence in deep sea exploration.
Okay. If you want to borrow my video game controller, sir, you can. If you need some spare parts for your,
you can't have the good one, but I got this 20-year-old Xbox controller.
Yeah, my backup. You know, my Xbox One controller. You're good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 437-1620 every once in a while, you just see a story and you think, "What in the world?" Women are now apparently spending up to $8,000 at a time to engage in rage rituals, to yell and scream and break stuff and presumably talk about us. but, you know, get your rage on for the cheap, cheap price of $8,000. Well, look, a rage ritual that only costs you $500, how effective can that really be? Come on, be fair.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. Donald Trump, the first former president, maybe future president, to be a convicted felon, addresses supporters at 11 a.m. Eastern Time from Trump Tower in New York. House Speaker Mike Johnson on Fox among the Republicans coming to his defense.
Because President Trump is crushing Joe Biden in the polls, they see the Democrat Party and the left so desperate to stop him that they'll risk the destruction of our entire legal system to do it.
Sentencing is set for July 11th, 4 days before the Republican National Convention. A Minneapolis police officer is killed in an ambush responding to reports of a shooting.
When officers arrived, they received gunfire immediately, and they exchanged gunfire.
Assistant Police Chief Katie Blackwell, the suspect is also dead, so is someone found at the scene. In addition to the police officer, two other civilians, another police officer, and a firefighter are shot and wounded. They are expected to survive. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. 77 degrees and partly cloudy skies right now in Florida. Seeing a lot of reaction today after yesterday's guilty verdict on 34 counts for former President Donald Trump, the first president to face and be convicted in a criminal courtroom.
The shock is not that they went after them. They've been doing this against Trump for 7-8 years. The shock is that this could happen in America. I grew up listening to people tell me about show trials and things that happen in Cuba. This is a show trial.
That is Senator Marco Rubio reacting on Fox after hearing the news last night. Congressman Matt Gaetz tweeting his reaction on X. The verdict, he says, quote, "The verdict is the corrupt result of a corrupt trial, corrupt judge, and a corrupt DA. We will stand with President Trump more now than ever to save the country," end quote. Also seeing some reaction from Governor DeSantis, he posted his on his X account that the case was a, quote, "testament to the political debasement of the justice system in places like New York City," and end quote there. Escambia County Commissioner Jeff Burgosh will not be facing investigations over concerns of possible Sunshine Law violations related to those leaked text messages from his cell phone.
Back on May 21st, an Escambia County grand jury returned a no true bill, meaning that no probable cause was found to determine whether a crime was committed. Back in December, State Attorney Ginger Bowden Madden said her office would review the allegations of improper communications that centered around messages between Burgosh and David Baer, CEO of the Lewis Baer Company. On his blog, Burgosh says, quote, "Of course I knew I was innocent. I followed the law." Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
Thank you very much, Joe. The state of Florida is still working to address a nursing shortage, according to a report from Channel 3, the Nurse Journal. They say they expect Florida to be able to meet the demand for nurses within 4 to 5 years.
The combination of dealing with significant shortages, but also dealing with high turnover rates. It is an incredibly difficult and demanding job in the best of circumstances.
That is Mary Mayhew, and she's the president of the Florida Hospital Association. Mayhew says in the aftermath of the COVID pandemic, many nurses opted to switch careers and go into jobs that were less taxing with fewer nights or weekends. Well, those three trolleys that shuttle visitors around on Pensacola Beach are set to be replaced soon, according to a report from the News Journal. The Santa Rosa Island Authority approved the purchase of two new open-air trolleys last month, and they're planning to put those on the road sometime this year. Once the new trolleys are on the road, the old ones will be given to Escambia County. The SRIA plans to purchase a third trolley in fiscal 2025. The island trolley is available to visitors on Pensacola Beach for free. It shuttles people from Casino Beach to Portofino, Park West, and through the commercial corridor. The trolleys are available every day from 4 p.m. until midnight. It's 8:35 at News Radio, and Jimmy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
If you are heading southbound on North Palafox Street in Pensacola this morning, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up at the intersection of Brent Lane. And further south down North Palafox Street at the intersection of Massachusetts Avenue and Pace Boulevard there, there's some road work happening that is backing up traffic southbound on Palafox and eastbound on Massachusetts Avenue. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up quickly into the upper 80s. We'll have plenty of humidity, high near 89. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. As we head into Saturday, 40% chance of rain in the morning, then turning into an 80% chance of rain during the afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms with a high near 83. Saturday night, 40% chance of rain, low near 72. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we have 77 degrees in Pensacola and quite a bit cooler, 73 being reported in Gulf Breeze, 75 in Milton. Your money now this morning. Markets today are opening up. The Dow is up 132 points at 38,243.66. S&P up 12 points at 52.46. The NASDAQ up 12 points as well at 16,749. Our 10-year bond rate down just a hair at 4.5% this morning. Gold prices up 8.70 at 23.75. 20 silver prices are up 12 cents at 31.65. And for Bitcoin investors, well, you're down about $450 today at 68,322. Donald Trump's social media company stock prices in a tumble after he was found guilty yesterday on all counts in the hush money case. The share price for Trump Media and Technology Corporation, which is the operator of Truth Social, dropped 15% after the verdict yesterday. After hours trading, it was up a bit, but still down about 10%. Boeing telling the FAA how they plan to improve their operations after a string of mechanical problems that started with a door plug that blew out of a plane over Oregon. The FAA put Boeing on a 90-day clock to develop the plan. The company is reducing the work that's done out of order, and they've increased monitoring of Spirit AeroSystems that does some of their outside work as well. Artificial intelligence is taking on Wall Street stock analysts. This week, analysts predicted that shares of chipmaker NVIDIA would rise 4% in 12 months with a consensus price target of $1,171 per share. Right now, 8:37, our next news at 9. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola, FM 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
I said a hip hop, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the Sharkle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap. Wrap it
up. Yes, it's the wrap. That means I have a couple friends with me here in studio, and we're going to talk about, I don't know, whatever we wind up talking about. Today, we've got former mayor and host of The Garden Line here on News Radio Pensacola, Mike Wiggins.
Good morning, Andrew. How you doing,
a man bud? About whom I just learned something that I won't say on the air.
Good. Good.
Let's keep some secrets.
What happens in 1620
couple,
stays
right.
at 1620.
What happens
20,
off
okay?
mic stays off mic. That's
exactly
right. Mike of the microphone, not Mike of the Wiggins. Jer, I always say your name wrong. You say your name.
Jera Jacquet.
Jacquet. Okay. That's more the French pronunciation, so I'll take it. Oui. He is the president of the Bluff Line Project and also coaches basketball and also works in anesthesiology, basically.
Yeah, about it.
A lot of different
hospital.
Things. Very cool. Well, welcome back. So, let's get it out of the way. Let's talk about Trump. Mike, you and I, when it comes to politics, you and I agree of what percent?
Zero.
Is it really zero?
Well, no, it really is not zero. But
it's probably more like 60, but the key flashpoints are zero.
Exactly.
We're still Americans, believe in the Constitution.
That's right.
You know,
that's exactly right. And if we're going to talk about that this morning, I think you've got to lead off by saying nobody is above the law.
Agreed. I agree.
Because I look at this whole episode. Mm-hmm. It had a professional judge. It had a jury of his peers. It had good prosecutors, good defense, really, and the law was upheld, and he was guilty of all of those counts on a very quick verdict, I thought,
right.
from the jury, and so you go from there. I mean, you got to go through sentencing and appeals and all of that, but I think it's quite a day in America to say that really nobody is above the law.
So I absolutely agree with you that nobody's above the law. And, of course, I agree with you about the fact that he's been convicted and it was quick. Beyond that, we're probably not on the same page.
I was just going to say, Andrew, what's wrong? It's something in the air here.
There were some in-between there where you and I probably don't agree entirely, but that's okay. Jerry, have you been watching this, paying much attention to it? What do you think? I know, you know, politics isn't exactly your thing particularly, but, you know, you're here, you're smart. What do you think?
I saw this breaking news yesterday, and I'm like, oh shoot, I'm gonna get myself in trouble tomorrow.
Yeah, I did not expect they'd be done so quickly. I didn't figure we'd be talking about that today at all.
Yeah, and I think that shows the power of, you know, a really well prosecuted legal case. You know, I'm reminded of Trump's statement, I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters. And I'm concerned because I saw some polls soon after that that showed about 15%, you know, 12% of voters would be more likely to vote for Trump after this.
Mm-hmm.
12% would be less likely. And the vast majority, something like 60, 65%, it would make absolutely no difference.
Yeah.
And so I think whether you're on the right or the left, the fact that 37 felonies might not change your mind or make
I think 34, but right. Yeah. Regardless. Right.
Yeah. It's, you know, he's well into double digits, you know, that's concerning because I think it undermines the rule of law for everyone, you know, and one of those just steps that, you know, we have to stop and reflect and be like, hey, 10, 15 years ago, as a society, how would we have handled it then versus now?
Yeah, and it's very interesting, actually. And again, you know, you and I, it sounds like we probably agree about the big thing, which is the rule of law should apply to everybody. Nobody's above it. But then all of the details on this particular case, we might have a different take, or we do have a different take, which is fine. But what I have found interesting throughout this process is I was alive for the Clinton stuff. And the argument by the Democrats at that time was, this is minor, this is a technicality, you're trying to get him on a, you know, something that's not really relevant. How dare you bring him up for impeachment for something as silly as this, is, you know, perjury or related to a sexual escapade or whatever. A lot of Republicans who said, no, everything. This is crucial. This is vital. We've got to have a moral leader in chief. You know, we've got to have, and some of those tunes have changed on both sides, you know, and which, as somebody who tries to be consistent, I've tried to stay consistent with the things I said back then or acknowledged, you know, what I was wrong about that, if I do think I was. But it's very illustrative to think about where people were on Clinton and where they are on Trump.
That's true. And Andrew, that's one of the unfortunate things about this trial. And I know, I mean, I'm not that naive that to know, you know, you've got the left and you've got the right, you've got Republicans, you've got Democrats. But some of the sound bites coming out of this thing from the right, how it's a witch hunt, it's rigged, the judge is crooked. I mean, those statements are totally out of line in my opinion. You could not agree with the verdict. You can go through all of that. But to come out with some of these things which are totally, and maybe this is an overstatement, un-American, in my opinion.
So we are in an election year where the clear message in the Republican Party is that you better be with Trump or else.
Right.
And, you know, as somebody who tries to just, you know, call every pitch the way I see it, you know, I find that very disturbing. I agree with the criticism, some of the criticism, of the judge, of the process, of the prosecutor. But at the same time, you know, when we're talking about Trump, we're not talking about somebody who's been like this pristine example of virtue and law-abiding behavior for the whole time that he's been in the public arena, and now all of a sudden they're coming after him for the first time for, you know what I mean? It's, and to me, I think that if you, his defenders will say that, you know, they're after him because he's a disruptor and because he's effective and because they don't like the policies and the effectiveness, he's an enemy of the deep state. They'll say all this kind of stuff, and I think there's some truth to that. But at the same time, you know, one of the things I used to always kind of teach when we talk in my ethics class is that if you're going to be the advocate for something, be the unimpeachable advocate for something. You know, don't have a lot of dirt and skeletons and stuff because, you know, if you're not the best representative of the viewpoint, then you're going to make it hard for people to be persuaded by it. And part of the problem with Trump is that every time somebody criticizes him, they're always an evil, horrible, terrible liar. And sometimes when people criticize them, they may be evil, terrible, horrible liars. But when you say that every time, it's the boy who cried lynching. It's the boy who cried witch hunt. It's the boy who cried, you know, and like every single time. Well, it can't be every time. Right. It might be this time. But when you say it every time, you know, those horrible media people back there. Well, not all of them, you know. And so, but yet, I think a lot of these politicians reading the tea leaves and the wind and the polls are like, I got to come out strong or people are going to say I'm an anti-Trumper.
Yeah, I got a text message. It took about 2 hours for the politicos and the campaign mm-hmm. fundraisers, but
well, some of them had it pre-written.
Oh, I'm sure they
some
did.
Some of them
yeah.
were posted at 4:21 or 3:21 yesterday. Yeah,
from Trump in all caps. Justice is dead in America. Our country has fallen. Please give money.
The fundraising
the hyperbole.
The website broke.
Yeah,
the fundraising website for Trump broke yesterday because so many people were. That's it. I'm giving money.
You know, it's like the January 6th stuff. You say this sort of thing often enough. You say, hey, we've got to take back to America, you know, storm the Capitol, and people are going to do it. You know, if you're saying justice is dead in America, our country has fallen, like, that's not a good look for someone that's job is, as president is to enforce the laws of the United States.
And of course, his answer would be, so elect me and we'll enforce them properly.
Right. And those words, you know, could come from anybody else. But you're talking about the Republican nominee for president mm-hmm. saying these words.
And clearly resonating with the populace.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing about, you know, democracy is, you know, you have to say somebody has to represent those people or they won't vote for you. And so somebody has to, you know, if this is what the people want to hear, you get the leaders you deserve, right? I mean, you get the leaders that you elect. And these messages from all the Republicans, they believe this is what voters want to hear. And I think they're right. This is the stuff that voters want to, at least some voters very much want to hear it as we're heading into primary season. We'll talk about some other stuff coming up in just a second. It's The Wrap. We've got Mike Wiggins and Jared Jacquet here on The Wrap with me. I'm Andrew McKay. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you're heading north on North Davis Highway, you can expect to see some traffic built up between East Maxwell Street and Fairfield Drive right as you get onto the interstate there. Traffic also building up if you're coming in from Cantonment on U.S. South Highway 29 on Pensacola Boulevard and Hood Drive backed up. In between Palafox and Pensacola Boulevard. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. One of the other things that I wanted to talk with you guys about, and particularly because Jer is here and because Mike used to be the mayor of Pensacola. Jer, you're working on the Bluffline project, and you know people may not have any idea what that is. I wish you the best. I think it's unlikely, but I hope, because I think I love the project. Tell people what it is.
Bluffline is an effort in phase one to link UWF to West Pensacola via Jackson Lakes, Quarry Station, and NAS Pensacola. And, you know, we may need to put down some bets because we've got some big news recently that I think makes it much more likely.
It's not news until you say it on the air.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is not new news. I think this was maybe 2022, 2023, but the entire route was added to the state SunTrail priority funding network.
No, where does it go through? Where does it connect? Because in my head, I apologize, I was thinking about the like rails to trails on scenic, that's the plan.
Right. Right.
That's a part of the plan.
So that was added to the state scenic or the SunTrail map.
Uh-huh.
The Bluff Line.
But that's not converting the rail line to trail. That's building a trail closer to scenic, right?
The scenic highway portion of the Bluff Line is a very important, crucial connector.
Okay.
And at this point, a PD&E study, there's been like very big picture feasibility studies mm-hmm. that give the thumbs up, say, hey, look, this is great from a transportation, economic development, tourism, environmental, you know, in that greenways and trails are actually some of the highest performing transportation investments we can make, you know, orders of magnitude less costly than a road, but they generate a lot more economic value. So it's to be determined whether a trail would end up adjacent to the highway or a rails with trails mm-hmm. project, which would keep the existing active rail line and put a
like a multi-use path
near it. Adjacent. And that happens all over the country. I mean, the best example, I think, is the San Clemente, you know, coastal trail and, you know, beautiful pictures of a dramatic coastline, very similar to what we have with both coexisting. Mm-hmm. Well, the other option, and Mayor Wiggins and I talking about this, is for decades and decades and decades, there's been talk about, you know, decommissioning this rail line.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small part of the network, but it's extraordinarily expensive for them to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
And the volume on that is very, very low right now. And there are alternate ways to get to the same place. And so every time there's a significant storm, the rail line has to say, hey, what's the cost benefit of of repairing this?
And if there's storm surge on the beach on the east side of Pensacola, they have to repair stuff.
Well, and interestingly, you know, I was out there after Hurricane Sally along with the rest of Pensacola.
All of us looking at the barges and the ripped up rails.
Well,
and, yeah.
It basically became the party beach
right.
with the bridge knocked out. So, you know, a lot of the damage came from inland. The problem is you have a berm that's built up.
Yep.
And so, you know, when you have an extreme weather event like 2014, where Scenic Highway washed out.
Yeah.
Or just tons of rain like Hurricane Sally, it washes out from inland.
Flowing water carved out under the tracks.
Yeah.
Right, right.
You know, and Ivan, to be fair, there was some washout from storm surge, but really not so much from Sally. That being said, in both instances, the rail operators went to the state and federal government, you know, and basically asked for a bailout
mm-hmm.
for us as taxpayers to mm-hmm. cover the cost of those repairs. And so a fair question is, if we're the taxpayers paying to maintain this infrastructure, you know, if there are opportunities to have a public benefit,
give us a something else instead and make the rail line itself more resilient or less susceptible to storm damage, then, you know, maybe we can win all around. Mike, I know you've, as mayor, you know, this is, as Jared said, this is longstanding conversation, but your thoughts?
Well, let's go back to 1998.
Please.
I think that's a very important date when the Scenic Highway was designated a scenic byway by the state of Florida. And there aren't that many of them. I'm going to say 20, 25 around the state.
And we were actually the first designated in the state of Florida.
That's exactly right.
What does that designation mean? I'm unfamiliar with it.
Well, it means that the state has adopted that as the byway. And, of course, in order to get that designation, you've got to have people, organizations, whatever, that's going to maintain that area. Like the Scenic Highway Foundation, which was back in the day. You know, that was a big reason we actually got that designation. But keep in mind this. This is important. This is kind of the big picture, I think. There are 2,000 miles of coastline in the state of Florida. We're the only ones with bluffs like this. We're the only with the highest elevation next to the water in the entire state.
Hmm.
And so back in the day, in 1998, we all kind of started dreaming again about the Rails to Trails program,
mm-hmm.
where I think what we really wanted was asphalt over the rails.
Yeah.
And from...
Like Milton
has. And from the trestle on the 17th
mm-hmm.
all the way to the interstate, it would be a running, walking, biking trail for the public. Now, there are a lot of things that have to happen
right.
for that to happen. You got to negotiate with the railroads.
Mm-hmm.
Not always easy.
They're always super amenable. The public input and, you know,
you've been
public
there.
Needs. Yeah.
You've been there, haven't you? Yeah, you know what I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, I think the new owners are more, actually. I mean, CSX was, I'll say it, terrible at being responsive to anything. But the new owners, I think, have been more so.
Right. And, of course, you've got to, their neighbors down there, you've got to work with to be sure everything works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cost of doing it and also the cost, and this is very important, of maintaining it. So there's all kind of...
I've heard a mayor talk about that recently, too.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah, that maintenance costs are part of the cost.
Oh, and he is absolutely right. So anyway, that's the big picture. It's a dream that a lot of people have had. And, you know, and so I'm so excited to hear some of these plans
mm-hmm.
that are at least being talked about.
It's almost hard to wrap your brain around just how different Pensacola could be if you could walk, bike, or ride from 17th Avenue to I-10 along a trail, along the beach, and you could walk down to the beach and you didn't feel like, am I breaking a law? I kind of am. I'm not sure if I should be here. You know, all of those things. Like, it would be, and, you know, I don't want to say it, but I'll say it. The development opportunities
that's true.
Massive, but there would be the opportunity to preserve a lot too and keep it, like, I mean, there's exactly. There's all kinds of things.
It's historic.
Yeah.
That's where Don Tristan da Cunha landed.
Yeah.
His ship is sunk right off the shoreline there. And plus, and I drive down that road all the time. I did this morning.
Yeah.
I did this morning. The sunrises.
Oh, yeah.
On Scenic Highway are world class. That just adds to how wonderful it would be to have that trail.
Let's take a pause right there. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are heading eastbound on Massachusetts Avenue, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up right before you intersect with North Palafox Street and North Pace Boulevard. That is due to some road work that is happening. That's going to be happening for the next few weeks as they do some lane changes there. Brent Lane and Palafox Street, seeing a lot of traffic building up there as well. A lot of backups all over downtown at every intersection almost, so use caution driving downtown and expect delays this morning in Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So, Jared and Mike, I think it's a, I love the idea of it. I know, Jared, it's your job to be enthusiastic and positive, and I hope you win. I really do. I just know that, and look, every project looks impossible until it starts to look possible, right? So I take that that note that maybe eventually it can happen. I did want to switch gears just a little bit and talk about this week. We had a historic announcement. Mike, you're a Braves fan.
Absolutely.
You and I disagree politically, and we disagree about baseball teams, but we love the sport, so it's okay.
I think that's
all right. Perfect. I don't know, Jerry, are you much of a baseball fan? You're basketball.
I was a big Braves fan in the 90s. Okay.
Yeah. So this week we had the announcement that finally the statistics for the Negro Leagues have been melded together with the statistics for Major League Baseball. So you now have a whole new set of statistics for the leaders, the historic highs in, average and home runs and runs batted in. The lists look completely different. And there are people on that list that if you haven't followed this much, you think, who's that? Well, Negro League players. In fact, the very top in like RBI or in batting average and slugging and OPS and stuff is a Negro League player. I assume you're in favor with this, Mike?
Well, without question.
Yeah.
It's the thing to do. Totally.
I've talked about this a little bit this week, that you have the problem of the one set of statistics, how they were compiled and what they mean, and the other set, But at this point in history, this is really the only reasonable thing to do.
It's an American game.
It is.
Exactly.
And to finally integrate baseball, even in the historical records part of it, is a big step.
Well said.
Jarrah and Mike, thank you for the time. Have a great weekend.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.